There's been a psalm that I've been thinking about meditating on for quite a few years. And this is a psalm, Psalm 131. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to open it to that. But this psalm is very brief, and it is very short. And it is from the psalmist David. And I remember a couple years ago, just in the lectionary, we go through the psalms. This psalm just really ministered to me at a particular time in my life. And as I was kind of thinking about what I've been going through recently, maybe what you're going through, I would just like us to meditate on Psalm 131. So this is what David says to the psalmist. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So this morning, I wonder if I were to ask you, and I were to ask you in three words, if you could describe the state of your soul, what would you say? Think about that. If I were to ask you, give me a summary of the week. Three words, how's your soul? Is it like David here? Calm, you know, quiet, at peace? What words perhaps would come up to describe your soul? David spent a lot of time in the Psalms reflecting. He was a king, had a lot of responsibility. And often in the Psalms, he's very reflective of what's happening within him. Here he is kind of talking about this calm in quiet soul, lifting his eyes up. So how is your soul today? I remember a couple years back, there was an app, it's still out there, it's very popular. One of the most downloaded apps was called Calm. Maybe you've heard of this app, it's on phones. There's this big discussion right now on just people looking for peace, because they're maybe recognizing they don't have much peace in their soul. They're struggling, they're wrestling, and maybe it's the very opposite of calm and quiet. Perhaps it's restless, perhaps it's upset, it's disturbed, I don't know. And sometimes what happens, I know in my journey, I'll maybe get to a place, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling really peaceful with the Lord. I've got to a place of calm and quiet in my soul. It's like David is calling us to. But then something happens, and I'm right back to a pretty distressed, upset, I'm not doing well, I'm overthinking something. This happens to me. So this morning, the question is, how does one cultivate this? Like, how do you get to a place where you have a calm and quiet soul? And why does the psalm call us to this? Why did David, in this very brief psalm, highlight it this way? And what's neat, did you notice in the psalm it says a song of ascents at the beginning? A song of ascent, think about it this way. You know, nowadays we got like our road trip music. We maybe put on a playlist when we're driving somewhere. The song of ascents were really a playlist, if you will, songs, hymns, that the Hebrew people would kind of sing as they were going to Jerusalem for feasts, where they'd go back together. They kind of have their songs that they'd sing, and this would be something that they'd sing on their way to kind of prepare themselves for worship. You know, this kind of psalm about a weaned child with its mother, a calm and a quiet soul. Why is my soul so distressed? It's really interesting if you think about that kind of being in the kind of in the imagination and as they were singing, preparing for worship. Because even the call to purity, every Sunday we seek, you know, cleanse our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Prepare us. And sometimes I know that I'm coming in every Sunday and every different day with a different kind of way that my soul, my inner life is going. But what did you notice as it very begins? David says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. Some translations say I don't have a haughty heart. And so it's really interesting. David, think of him, King David. We know a lot about his life. He's been humbled in his life quite a few times as well, as you know about some of the things that happened to him. But he's saying, my heart is not lifted up. I don't have a haughty heart. I don't have a proud heart. I don't want to have an arrogant heart where it's kind of all about me. And there was times where that was happening. but my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. What you begin to notice here is there's a bit of humility going on in David. You know, perhaps at times in our life, we lift our hearts, maybe puff up our chests, can be pretty proud and arrogant and feeling superior. And I do believe that is actually what can really affect our soul. He's saying, no, I do not have a proud heart. My eyes aren't raised too high. Yes, indeed, we're to lift our eyes to the Lord, but maybe not lifting our eyes to our own grandeur, our own ability, our own success, wanting us to come across as super popular. My eyes are not raised too high. He's challenging us not to look to our own ability and accomplishments for peace and joy. You know, often this can happen. We look to our own accomplishments. We look to our own feats. We look to maybe perhaps if I achieve these other things, then finally I will experience peace and joy in my soul. If I just get that perhaps reputation, that promotion, or if I get my eyes in that certain way, then I will have this calm and quiet soul. But David is challenging us to think about this a little bit deeper. Then he goes on to say, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Isn't that an interesting? Have you ever thought about that? I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. I've thought about this verse for quite a while. And again, David has a big responsibility. He's a king. And he probably had to think about many complex problems in his kingdom. More than I ever in my little world, in my job, and in my kind of work here in a parish, he probably dealt with more complex issues, problems, concerns than I would ever face. And probably many of you in this room, all of us are dealing with different kind of levels of complexity. But he's kind of saying, I don't want to occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. And I've often wondered, as he's saying that there's certain things that perhaps by occupying the mind is being occupied. And if I really occupy my mind on those things and thinking that somehow by occupying my mind, fixating my mind on those things, then just by occupying it there, then I will find peace. But also what we know is often when the mind is occupied on these things, what happens? We get very restless. We get more disturbed. And I think of Jesus in Matthew 6, you know, when he talks about do not worry about tomorrow. Who by worrying can add a single hour to your span of life? Sometimes in those very things in our life that are consuming us, that are occupying us, we just think if I spend 3 hours thinking about it, it's going to make it better. Typically, it's not how it goes. It actually can create more restlessness in our soul. It disturbs our soul. It causes kind of us to be unsettled in that way. And so David here challenges us, I don't want to occupy myself with things too great. And it's humbling when you say that because you're recognizing that some things are actually too great for you. Maybe you're thinking, no, that's not, I have the ability to kind of process this, to occupy this. And David's saying, you know what, that's even beyond me. These are some things that are really challenging. These are overwhelming. I do not want to occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous. So what are those things that can occupy the mind and unsettle the soul? It can be so many things. I can get sometimes really off in my own life. I remember a couple of years ago, I was stuck in this one moment, and I kept playing it over and over and over again in my head. There is a song by U2, maybe you've heard it. You got stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it. Anybody know the song? Maybe not. But I was stuck in a moment and I did not know how to get out, like a record skipping, occupying on something that I did that I was not very pleased with. And my soul was distressed, occupying myself with that. But then what's the answer? How does David turn here? He turns to something, you know, what would you say? You know, he's talking about eyes lifted high, proud heart. This is what he's done. I've calmed and quieted my soul. So that's the goal. That's the telos. That's what we want within our life and the spiritual life. We want a calm and quiet soul. And then he gives an illustration. like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Wow. So we have this example, we have the goal, yes, calm and quiet. And indeed, when we're in ministry, when we're with people, when we're at our work, when we're with our families, when we are at that place, we're able to minister Christ in a way when there's that peace and quiet within our own soul. So many colics in the prayer book talk about with a quiet mind, we pray. Sometimes when I'm coming to prayer, my mind is, it takes me like 5 minutes to kind of slow down, be with the Lord, have a calm and quiet soul. Then this illustration, and you know, as I was preparing for this, I saw my kids, you know, Zayden and Owen, 2 years old, 4 years old, you know, and I didn't know this was going to happen, but yesterday, Owen just at a point just came over, and he just was resting in Yuki's arms and then in my arms. No worries. You know, he's 2 years old. And he has no worries. He's just resting. He's trusting. He's at some level of peace at that moment. I mean, sometimes kids, as you know, they can go all over the place. But he's trusting. And what's going on there? There's just this total dependence. Children often, as Jesus told us to look to the children, often and often and often again, children have this quiet confidence. They have this trust. And often their mind, when I was a kid, I couldn't understand the complexities of the world. When I was looking to my parents, I was just trusting that my parents were taking good care of me. Like a weaned child, like a trusting child. You're just resting and trusting, knowing that your, in this example, the mother, is going to take good care of you. They're going to take care of you, provide for you, and have your best interests in mind. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. You know, I think about it, often these children, they just enjoy being with their parents. They just enjoy resting there, resting in the lap, not trying to occupy, not understanding all the things that are in my mind. I'm stressed out about a few things, but my children do not think about those things. They're resting, and they have a quiet heart. But why is the soul quieted? So how is it possible? Like, okay, yes, I have calmed and I've quieted my soul. But then the very last verse, I think, here is key. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The question becomes, where is the object? What is the object of our hope? Where am I looking for hope? Where am I placing all of my soul's salvation, indeed salvation from my sin, but also this disquieted restlessness? What am I looking for? Where is my hope placed that finally I would get peace? We talked about this a little bit last week, where Paul talked about the secret, again, of contentment, and he's saying it's in Christ that he's received this contentment. So we know that. He's saying, O Israel, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. And here's the challenge. From this time forth, and forevermore. He's challenging, and the psalmist is kind of calling us, that indeed, when we think about this, we're talking about even now this present moment. From this time forth. Okay, the past was the past. All we have right now is this moment. From this time forth, right now, even now in the sanctuary, as we're with the Lord, hope in the Lord, rest like a child. Do not lift your eyes up high from this time forth in the present. All we have really is the present moment. Day by day, in the present moment, we rest in the presence of the beloved of our God who loves us and saved us through his Son, Jesus, from this time forth and forevermore. But then there's that call, yes, indeed, and for forevermore. There is the moment, but this is something that has to be cultivated. Forever, day by day. We do well, we get set off, and then it's good for us to reflect, why is my soul so vexed? Why is my soul so disturbed? Where is my hope being placed? Why is there not quiet? What is going on? And it's only found in the person and work of Christ. All we have is the present moment. And I think, again, I've shared this quote probably with you before. There's certain quotes I just can't help but share over and over and over again. because it just resonates with me and my spiritual journey when St. Augustine, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Huh. That so speaks to me. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. I have such a restless heart. I've come to Christ. Jesus loves me. This I know. But yet there's the idols of my heart that I'm putting, and I'm praying that they would save me, that they would deliver me, that if I get that certain, maybe this money or that promotion, or I get this or that, and I get that, then finally I'll be at peace. And Paul's challenging us, and the psalmist here is challenging us, that's not exactly. You can have it all, and you're still, there is no quiet in the soul. You could be the most wealthy person in the world, and there's no quiet in the soul. It's only through Christ. So let us not lift our hearts, perhaps a haughty heart, and raise our eyes too high, not occupying ourselves with things sometimes that are too great. Bring them to the Lord. When there are those things that are too great and that occupy, it's amazing how often we simply don't even think of bringing them to our loving Father. It is sometimes startling how the very thing that is occupying and causing me the most trouble, I've never even communed or talked to God about it. But like a weaned child in the present, we rest in his presence, knowing that indeed God does love us like a weaned child in the present moment, and that our soul's hope for calm and quiet is only in, it is only in Jesus Christ. I love the hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." There is no place else outside of Christ where the soul will get the calm and quiet. And then also in Matthew 11, in Sundays, when you notice in our liturgy, after the confession, the absolution, there's the comfortable words that we often will say, and it's the famous words of Christ. It comes from Matthew 11, verses 25. I'd just like to read this for you. "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children.' Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow. The words of Christ. As I was meditating on that, I was reminded when I was first getting ordained, an older priest in Calgary who mentored me, he was in ministry for 50 plus years, he reminded me whenever I put on this thing, this stole, it's a stole, it's to be reminded of the yoke of Christ. And something he said, and I thought about it this morning, he said, every time you put that thing on, every Sunday, every time you minister, remember that his yoke is easy. His burden is light. So if you're going up there and you're doing ministry and it's feeling overwhelming, that's not from Christ. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And I was thinking, okay, you know, pinch hitting today, having to preach. But Lord, how is my soul? It has to be with the Lord, calm and quiet. Let's just slow down here, be reminded it's Christ's yoke upon us. I need to come to him all. I am often weary and heavy laden, but he is the one who provides the rest for our souls.